What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 12, powerful text of scripture, 6 verses we're going to read. The Bible says, and in that day you will say, I don't know if you know where in that day. It says, in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. It says, though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. Then he says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Verse 3 says, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted. He says, sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. We serve a great God. That's the truth. We serve a great God. I told someone, I said, others might not know, but we know. We serve a God who is awesome. And the Bible says, he is mighty in our midst. He is great in our midst. He is awesome in our midst. He is powerful in our midst. He is real in our midst. We have seen him. Hear the testimonies. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5:19 that the whole world lies in wickedness. The whole world, as we see it, lies under the grip of Satan. But you know the good news. Scripture says, but you are of God. We are of God, and we know whose we are. If left for the devil, nothing in your life should ever work. Nothing in your life should ever produce results. So a lot of times when we talk about praising God, it is not even just about the things that we can, enumerate. It's not just the things that we can list. It is about the things we have no knowledge of. The things that God does that we can't see. Some time ago, I was studying the book of Numbers, and it was interesting, the story of Balaam and how he called Balak to come and help him curse the children of Israel and place a curse on them. And if you do a very good study, you discover that he had heard of how God had fought for the children of Israel. And he saw a people like a mighty force coming and discovered that the only way I can stop these people from passing through this land, are you with me, is by placing a curse on them. And the children of Israel had settled by Edom. And all they were asking for was, let me use our present day English. They were asking for visa, passage. They were not asking to settle there. They were asking, can you just open your land up for us so that we do what? We pass. But it was already threatened. And Balak sent for Balaam to come and help him put a curse on the children of Israel. And what got to me was the fact that Balaam was busy arguing with God. Should I go, not to go? God said, do not go. He eventually got himself to go because of the price, because of the gift, because of the money that was sent to him. And then the Bible says he attempted cursing the children of Israel from different points. You read that story, you discover that he was working hard to put a curse on the children of Israel. And the story is this, that the Bible says when he set up his place for preparing the rituals for the curse, the Bible says he stood and he saw the children of Israel from an elevated place, from a mountain. And he began to prophesy by the Spirit of God. And I said, what a blessed people. May my death be like their death. He said, I have not found iniquity in Jacob. Are you getting me? I found no wrongdoing. He said, the Lord their God is with them, and the shout of a king is there. What caught my attention in this whole story is that the children of Israel didn't even know what was going on in the background. They didn't even know that the king had hired someone to come and curse them. They didn't even know that Balaam was going around killing bullocks, raising altars to curse them. They were just living. So a lot of times when we talk about praising God, are we following? It's not even about the things that we can see. It's not about the things we can testify about. It's not just about the things that we can, you know, look upon and say, oh, he delivered me from a car accident. He delivered me from this. He healed my body. He did this. Listen to me. It's a lot more about the things we can't even see that God preserves us and proves his faithfulness in our lives. So every person has something to be thankful for. In our text this morning, where I read in the book of Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. Verse 3 is what I want to just focus on. And then we just bless God. Amen. We were so excited that today we're going to have a full house. And then another secular came out that no full house. But we are the church without walls. Amen. Therefore, he says, therefore, and I love what Mark Hankin said. If scripture says therefore, check what it's there for. He says, therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. This is what a lot of Christians need to understand. Joy, thanksgiving, is not much an opinion as it is a command. You know, people feel that, well, you can, if it's comfortable for you, are you getting me? Something if you want to do, you can do. If you don't want to do it, you don't need to do it. But it's not much of a what? It's not God sharing an opinion with you. If you look at scripture, you discover that the full purpose, the original purpose of man is not to be an engineer, it's not to be a medical doctor, it's not to pursue some form of career. The purpose of man is to worship God, is to fellowship with God. Amen. The full purpose of man, the reason you are here, the reason all things were created, scripture tells us in Revelation, is that they were all created for his pleasure, for his worship. So thanksgiving is not something we do on some Sundays. Yes, we can set a Sunday out to thank God, but thanksgiving is a lifestyle. It is very, very important for a Christian to understand this in order to make a foolproof of everything that God has designed for him to be, for you to walk this Christian life. You know, the picture that the prophet speaks with in Isaiah 12 is like a man taking a journey. Are you with me? It's like a man taking a journey in an arid region where there is no light, where there is no water. And then in the course of this journey, he now finds pools and ponds of water from where he can do what? He can draw and be able to drink and be revived and refuel to walk through the length of that journey. Now, you see, sometimes when we read scriptures in our everyday, in our present day setting, people don't really get the gravity of it until we put it into the environment, are you with me, in which the setting in which those scriptures were written or prophesied. Today, you won't bother if you're traveling to Lagos. You can stop at any point in time and buy pure water, right? You can stop in the shop and buy a pack of water. But I want you to imagine someone, probably 1,200 or 1,000, 2,000 years ago, having to travel between here and Makurdi. Do you get the picture? And it's not a place where there's a lot of water, and then all he has to do, he has to get to the next well to be able to get water, to drink and be revived. Someone say, well, maybe he's going with a camel. If you're going with a camel, the camel also needs to drink water. Are you getting me? Needs to drink water in order to make it from one point to the other. So at that point, water is salvation. You get the picture. When you find a well, you have found what? You have found life. So that even if you have run out of water in the pouch you are carrying, it's a place to restock. It's a place to be revived. It is that mindset with which this scripture is written. Are you following? It says that in life's journey, as we move, as you are pursuing your dream, it could be anything. It could be the dream to build this corporate entity. It could be this dream to have this wonderful home. It could be this dream to build a business or to start something. Listen, you need to be able to refuel at different stops in the course of your life's journey. If not, you will not get to where you're going. And scripture likens the Christian race to a journey. Hebrews chapter 12. It says to run with what? With perseverance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And how did he say we should run? He says to run with joy. There's an attitude to run in order to win. You don't just win running. You have to win. You have to run with the right attitude. So this is the mindset. It says that with joy, as I'm going through life's journey, I come to a well, or I come to a fountain. Another word for well, there is fountain. I come to a fountain, and what do? I'm able to draw water from it. I'm able to drink. I'm able to give to my cattle. I'm able to give to my animals and those traveling with me. If it's a caravan, I'm able to give to every other person. Then we refuel to make it to where we are going. So every stop of well is a point to be revived. Do you get it now? So the word water there actually literally should have been translated what? Victory. So it says, with joy, we draw victory. With joy, we draw breakthroughs. With joy, we draw new levels. Are you with me? With joy, we draw new inspiration. From where? From the wells of salvation. And the word salvation there actually means the places of revival, the places of inspiration. Now, this is what Jesus was teaching in the book of John chapter 7. When he speaks concerning eternal life. You see, when you get born again, that is not all there is to experience. That day of salvation is important. But I mean, that's not all there is to the salvation experience. Is that day you have received eternal life, a spring of living water on the inside of you. But much more, you have gotten into covenant with a God who delivers not once, but again and again. A God who delivers again and again. And we need those. It is his deliverance that propels us to make whatever advancements we make in life. Paul was talking to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Hello. And he made a statement. He said, look, we have the answer of death in us. What was he talking about? The challenges they faced in ministry. He was talking about the obstacles, the problems. If anybody has ever had a problem in your life, in their lives, let me show you how. That means you are a human being and you're living in the real world. Problems don't cease. If you are the online home cell church yesterday, we're teaching that the world as we know it is under a corrupt system. The fall of Adam turned everything around. But you know, we are assured of victory every day in the midst of a corrupt system. And that's what Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians, you know, chapter 1. When he was talking to them, he said, we have the answer of death in us. We are pressed. Sometimes it looks as though we are at the edge of death, as though we're going to tip over. But look at what I have learned. We have learned rather to always trust God. He said, we have learned to trust God no matter what. That in every problem, hear me, it's another platform giving you a reason to trust God more than you have ever believed in him. And he says, we know in verse 10, this is how he puts it in verse 10 of that 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. He says, we know that he delivers us from such a great death, that there is death around us, but he delivers us. And this is what I like to say, and does not deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. What was Paul saying? This deliverance is not the last. We know that there are more issues, but we are certain of more deliverances. Now, why could Paul speak like that? It's because salvation is a well you can always draw from in every situation. In every financial situation, there is a well of salvation to draw from. Jesus said, the water that I shall give to him shall be in him a what? A well, a spring of living waters. That means anything a believer needs to be everything God wants him to be at the new birth, he has received it. Your problem doesn't lie, your answers don't lie with someone else. The answer doesn't even lie with the government. Some people are so, so sad because of the lockdown, and I ask why. You can't be stopped. The answers you seek are not outside. The answers you seek are within. When you have received Christ, the answer is in you. The well is in you. That means there is a well that every believer carries that he can draw from as he journeys through life to get to where he needs to get to. It is God himself that you carry on the inside of you. Why is it that some people are so discouraged? Because yesterday I was just thinking, I said, tomorrow is Thanksgiving service. I was thinking yesterday, I said, so, Lord, what do you want me to share? I know They are regular messages for Thanksgiving. Are you with me? For God was just dropping this Isaiah 12:3 in my heart. With joy, you draw. So you know the issue? The issue, listen now, is not that we don't carry the well of solutions on the inside of us. It's not that we don't carry the wells of eternal life. It's that we don't know how to draw. You don't know how to draw. And that's why life is hard for some people. And all the songs they sing is that this life is filled with sorrows and troubles here below. We need someone. The one you need to cheer and guide you is in you. But the question is, how do I draw? How do I draw? A man who is not saved, hear me, might not know how to draw. So he depends on external things in order to be able to draw strength. It could be people. It could be drugs. Are you getting me? It could be some form of habit. I was telling some people the other day, I said, look, when you see someone doing something, it's because there is a positive perception to every wrong thing. You know that. I was telling you, you know, someone will go and rob and kill people. When they catch him, you say, it's because of my children. It's because of love for my children. My children needed to eat. That's why you went to another person's house to go and rob who has children. You see, he's doing something wrong, but there's a positive word. There is a perception. There's something he tells himself to get into that place to go and do that, because that's where he draws strength and inspiration from. And that's what happens to a man who is not saved. In an empty life, you always need to draw from something. So you discover that the best that this world can give you is happiness. Happiness is good. We should be happy. But you know, you can sing "Don't Worry, Be Happy" and still hang yourself. You get me? Because in life, you will need more than just being what? Happy. You need more than just being happy. It's good to be happy. But can I say to someone, I'm not always happy. If you're always happy, let me see your hand up. You're not always happy because situations come. It's not always we're happy. Jesus did not say, my happiness I give to you. No. Happiness has to do with external stimuli. And nothing wrong with being happy. If I'm watching UFC and Adesanya wins, I'm happy. I know some of you don't watch. Some of you don't watch. You don't watch any form of television. Forgive me. Amen. I do. And I like kickboxing. Somebody came to the other day and I said, Pastor, I don't like kickboxing. It is too bloody. I said, nothing wrong with blood. Amen. It's a fight. It's a fight. Even life is a fight. Just I don't know. Yeah, life is a fight. Life is a race. But it's a fight of faith. The umpire is on your side. He fights for you. Everything working together for you. You can't lose. But you must know that you can't just sit down and just... No. You take a stand. But you see, anytime I'm watching, I remember a particular match between Isaac Adesanya. Some of you don't watch kickboxing, so you don't know what I'm saying. But those of you who watch, I was with... Because I've gotten Pastor Jay to like watching kickboxing. So we watch it together. And he was fighting with Gastelum. And you know, this guy was... Of course, I had this natural affinity for my Nigerian brother that I couldn't lose. I know the guy had never lost. And that match, by the time they got into the fourth round, man, they were giving him the beating of his life. And I was saying, Easy, do something. Easy, do something. Why was I so bothered about him doing something to make me happy? You can't spoil my day by losing. That means to be happy in that instant, I needed him to win. But what God gave us is not happiness. He gave us something higher than happiness. It's called joy. You know why? Joy is a spiritual force. It's a spiritual force that came preset by default setting with the new creation. That's why the moment you get saved, one of the first things we talk about is the joy of what? Salvation. Accompanying salvation is what? Is joy. You have it on the inside. Meaning that without any external stimuli, you can have a great time. It's on the inside of you. It's on the inside. Nehemiah 8:10. What did scripture say? He says, look, go. You know, the children of Israel were just returning from exile. They were coming back. Instead of crying over the ruins, crying over yesterday. You know, some people like to talk about yesterday. In those days, quit talking about those days. Talk about the days you are in. The Bible says, he said to them, he said, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our God. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy that God gives strengthens us. How many of you know what I was saying earlier? It revives us. Joy is the energy for tomorrow. Hallelujah. Is somebody here? And you need this joy to win in life. The Bible says in the book of 1 Thessalonians, I think chapter 5, it says, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Joy is a force. When you give it motion, it's rejoice. It becomes an action. You know, some people say, well, if God makes me happy, I will rejoice. No. If you rejoice, you will become happy. If you rejoice, tables will turn. Joy is a force that can unturn, that can turn any table upside down. I was looking for, you know, you guys blessed me this morning, Della. That was just awesome. Amen. And I was just so blessed. When I was coming, there's a song I really wanted to sing. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. There are different ways to fight battles, but nothing compares to the force of joy being unleashed. I read a book some years ago by Jerry Savelle. If the devil cannot steal your joy, he cannot keep your goods. That book transformed my life inside out. So I discovered that joy is a force I have on the inside of me that I can decide to activate at any point in time, regardless of where I am. Money or no money. House or no house. The other day, you know, I've been talking to some singles. And we're going to be talking this evening again. All the singles say, I. The eyes have it. Now, I've been talking to singles. And I saw this particular post on a prominent man of God. Have a lot of respect for him. And I think the program has passed, but it was being advertised on social media. And he was going to talk about, why am I still single? That was the topic. Why am I still single? So I thought of it, I said, it's because you're not married. It's a very simple thing, eh? Why am I still single? Because you're not married. So I cut a portion of it and I put on that singles group. And I said, question, why am I not married? Why am I still single? Because I am not married. Let me ask you a question. Did you ever see Paul bothering himself about being single? Singleness is not a curse. And you must learn to be happy as a single. Even though you might be sad being married. And there are lots of sad married people. So you know the way it is for some people. They can't wait to be married. And when they are married, they are looking forward to being single again. And that's not possible. At least not with me. You must learn to enjoy where you are. It's a force of joy. Joy doesn't come when you are married. Joy doesn't come when you have a job. Joy doesn't come when you have hit some money. Joy doesn't even come by winning a lottery. Lots of people who have won lotteries are sad people. Joy doesn't even come by gambling. Joy comes with salvation. I remember someone asked me, he said, okay, so pastor, if you say that it's because I'm not married, so the person turned the question and said, why am I not married? I said, because the right person has not come. The right person is coming. See, life is about perspective. And it's the joy of God that gives you different perspective to same issues that people go through. So when the Bible says to count it all joy, it knows what it is saying. In this lockdown, you should be giving God your biggest praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are we still in this house? Yes, glory to God. So let me just share scriptures with you and then we close. So I want you to get up today and praise God, because praising God, thanksgiving, is an act of faith. It has nothing to do with flesh. It has nothing to do with my feelings. Glory to God. Now, why do we praise God? Amen. We praise God because of who He is. Thinking about the magnificence of God provokes praise. Something happened recently, and it came out in the course of this whole lockdown. And I walked into the room. I told my wife, I said, people need to fear God. He's not a man. People need to know that there's a God. So we praise him for who he is. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 2 Chronicles 16, 34. 1 Chronicles 16, 34, quickly. We praise him for who he is. God is great. God is mighty. The Bible says a fool that says in his heart, there is no what? There is no God. But someone who has God and does not acknowledge him is not different from a fool. Are you with me? So you need to acknowledge God. You need to be conscious. 1 Chronicles 16, 34. Yeah. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Have you ever won solid gold before? They say this is pure gold. That means if you crystallize that thing, if you reduce it to its minimal particle, are you getting me? Melt it, do anything you want to do with it. All you can find in it is what? Gold, without impurity. If you can melt God, all you can find in him is good. God is not sometimes good, sometimes bad. He doesn't have mood swings. I went somewhere and they were just going to invite me to come and preach, and they were just saying all these nice things about me. So I just said, God is you, I give the glory. God is you, I give. So I was just so uncomfortable. And God said, they just love you and appreciate you. I said, no, I don't want to steal your glory. He said, don't worry, I'm not insecure. Listen to me. God is not insecure. So I know your heart. You are not taking any glory. I said, okay, amen. Because before you come, I said, no, don't say that. Give it all to Jesus. Give it all to Jesus. Listen to me. Jesus doesn't have a problem. And listen, if Jesus has a problem, you don't have to explain to him. You will know he has a problem with it. He will know how to handle you. He is pure good. He is good. Say amen. So we praise him because of who he is. We behold his goodness. We behold his kindness. And we are thankful. I've given you a reason, one, to praise him. Hallelujah. Two, we thank him because of salvation. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto God, who has what? Who has qualified us to be partakers. Some people don't even think about what it means to be a Christian. They just happily go to church. It's a joy to be a Christian. To know that your sins are forgiven, your sicknesses are healed, that God will never be angry with you. A lot of time we talk about the things that accompany salvation. Listen, if nothing even accompanies salvation, salvation is enough and worth giving God thanks for. I love what a pastor said recently. He said, even if you don't make, that you are not going to hell and you are going to heaven is enough reason to give God thanks. Whether you drive a Lamborghini or not, it is worth giving God thanks for. But in addition to that, God says there is more. So you need to give him praise for salvation. The salvation that you enjoy in Christ. Long life. You will not appreciate somebody saying, I thank God that I'm alive, until you are living on some form of machines. Then you will come out and discover how fragile and delicate life can be, and the importance of it, and the one who holds it. We thank him for salvation. So I thank him for salvation. Father, we bless you. So praising God is an act of faith. Well, we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Amen. Verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. Glory to God. Rejoice always. Verse 17 says, continue. 1 Thessalonians 5. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give what? Thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ for you. He's not saying give God thanks for everything. He's saying in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God. What is God's will? That in every situation, you should have an attitude of thanksgiving. He's not saying thank God for bad things, but he's saying in bad things, give God thanks. God's will for you is that no matter the situation, you are giving God thanks. Why? Praise changes situations. Have you ever imagined when Jesus stood in front of Lazarus? You can write this down, John 11:41. And they say, Lazarus, whom you loved, is dead. And guess what scripture says Jesus did? The Bible says Jesus came and stood in front of that tomb. And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and cried. Is that what scripture says? He lifted up his eyes. And what was the first words that came out of his mouth? Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Wow. What is that death thing in your life? Stand in front of that grave. Stand in front of that seeming impossible situation and say, Father, thank you because I believe you have heard me. You know why? It's an act of faith. To still see that someone is in a tomb, hello, the doors have been sealed, and they say this person is dead, and you are trusting God for resurrection. And the first word that comes out of your mouth is thanksgiving. You know why? You know that God is more than death. Give God thanks. Whether there is money in your account or not, give God thanks. This service is to thank God for where he has brought us, but much more as we are thanking him, dead things are coming back to life. Do you understand? Dead things are coming back to life. After this service, you are going to receive testimonies. You are going to receive reports. People are going to call you. Are you getting me? I was with a couple 3 days ago, and they were talking to me in my office, and they said, Pastor, where we are, I don't even know what to do. I said, then you are in a good place. He said, no, you didn't hear me. We don't know what to do. I said, you are in a good place. It's when you've come to the end of yourself that you begin to see the manifestations of God. Sometimes you need to come to that Red Sea where you don't know where to turn, and the armies of Pharaoh are behind you, and all you need to do is lift up a song saying, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. There are things you can do. I think you are finished doing them. Now see what only God can do. It's an act of faith. Jesus had sometimes we think we're the only ones who've been in a fix. Jesus had 5,000 people to feed. 5,000 people to feed. Men. Because scripture says besides women and children. I mean, I'd rather feed 5,000 women. Besides children, than feed 5,000 men. Because the consumption capacity of 5,000 men, even 20,000 children and women will be a joke. Of course, there are women who don't joke. Are you getting me? But what I'm saying is that when you have 5,000 men to feed, you know you have a work at hand. And then you look around and ask, and all they are telling you is that there are 5 loaves, 2 fish. And then you bring it. Jesus, and you don't panic. You don't panic. You don't fidget. You just say, bring it. Glory to God. Before this time, Jesus just got one of the worst news of his life. His favorite cousin, the only person who believed in him, because even Jesus' brothers did not believe in him. Hope you know that. It was after Jesus' death and burial and resurrection that some of his brothers, like James, started saying, wow, this is truly the Son of God. You know, while they walked with him, they were walking with him, they just felt he's a good boy. They said that our brother is a good prophet. Remember in the book of John, they said, Jesus said, hey, you are the one who have been preaching manifestation. This is the feast of gathering. Come and manifest yourself. Here, people will know, come and blow. You see, that's because they didn't have faith in him. But he had this cousin who believed in him. His name is John. He was a forerunner. Read Matthew 14. And he was killed in a dishonorable way. He spoke the truth against Herod. And said, look, you can't marry your brother's wife, Philip. So Herod said, throw him in prison. Herod even wanted to kill John, but wouldn't kill him for fear of what? For fear of his popularity with the people. And then one day this girl came dancing. The other day I was seeing an advert on CNN, and I saw the advertising Dubai, and I saw this girl, you know, reeling her waist. And I said, this is what killed John. Are you getting me? You know, the belly dance, you know, just having, and Herod was drunk to stupor, and he just called the girl and said, anything you want to half of my kingdom, do what? Ask for it, I'll give it to you. And, you know, the girl ran to the mom and said, wow, see an offer. And of all the things in the kingdom the mother could ask for is John's head. Out of pride, scripture tells us that what happened. John was beheaded, put on a platter. They called Jesus. Jesus, guess what? John is dead. How did he die? He was beheaded. I know they told him the whole story. He was sad. But it's that same day he multiplied the fish. That same day he heard that bad news. Some of us will stop serving God. We'll be out of ministry. We say, where was God? It's not about where was he. Where are you? And the Bible says, Jesus turned and looked at the multitude and had compassion on them. And there was a miracle. He lifted that bread and gave God thanks. This morning, forget the bad news. Forget every event till this time. As we use the next moment to praise God, let your heart swell with joy, thanking him for who he is and what he does, for who he has made you and where you are. We have a culture here to thank him for where we are coming from. Amen. We celebrate where we are and we rejoice on our way to where we are going. You might not be there yet, but you are sure not where you used to be. Lift those hands up to heaven. Thank him this morning.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard, and we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.